It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. Patrick Durkin is alarmed. He is worried that a federal program that costs taxpayers no money might go away. The National Land and Water Conservation Fund has given millions for the kinds of state and local parks that supports Wisconsin's tourist industries and similar industries in other states. Devil's Lake is supported by the fund, so is the Ice Age Trail and the Apostle Islands. Durkin writes about the outdoors for 17 newspapers, including USA Today's Wisconsin Network and the Wisconsin State Journal and Wisconsin Outdoor News. He wrote an impassioned plea for Congress to reauthorize the fund, and he joins us today. Patrick, welcome to the program.
Hey, Carrie. Thanks for having me on.
So talk to me. What is the Land and Water Conservation Fund?
It got started back. Its idea came all the way from the John Kennedy administration in 1963, that era. And it was signed into law in 1964 by President Johnson. Basically, what it does is it takes when companies use our offshore areas to drill for oil and gas, they pay a lease for that. And those lease fees, what they designed to do was to take about $900 million from that and put it toward conservation funding across the country back here on shore. So basically, we don't charge taxpayers for it. We basically get a lease fee that's, I think, entitled to the American people. It comes back to service here on shore.
And this lease fee, how much do we earn, and how much is supposed to go to the Land and Water Conservation Fund?
Right now the amount that they're asking for, that they basically designed the law for, we're only getting about 10% of that, right? We would only get about 10% of it if we got the full amount. We're supposed to get $900 million from it. We're actually getting up in the billions. I can't remember the exact number, but basically, if you look at what we're asking, which is $900 million, which was written into the law, and that's only 10% of what they've been getting out of it in recent years. So, and if you gauge it for inflation too, which is not indexed to inflation, so if we're doing that, it'd be more like $3.5 billion these days.
And how much are we actually getting for this fund?
Like last year and previous years, we're getting a third of what we're asking. Basically around $300 million, to be spread across the country. So, and what's happened is, as what happens so often when it's a fund like this, Congress controls those budgetary things, so they can divert to other uses where it's not clear where it all goes, because it's really a huge budget that we're operating with here. And what the conservation groups are asking for across the country is that Congress start living up to that bargain and fully funding the whole $900 million every year. And like I say, we're only getting a third of that.
We are talking about the Land and Water Conservation Fund, which is a federal program that has been in place since 1964. We're taking your calls here. What project in your community had support from the fund? Do you know this? How do you see these dollars making a difference in your part of Wisconsin? And do you work in land conservation? Perhaps you're a park ranger or a wildlife specialist. How do you explain the importance of preserving nature to the people who work in different fields? We're 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. I listed some things, Pat, that the Land and Water Conservation Fund pays for, Devil's Lake, the Ice Age Trail, what have you. What are some of the other things, and what are some of the local things that we may not be aware of that this fund pays for?
Yeah, one that comes to mind right away is, we have a thing called the Forest Legacy Program in Wisconsin. What that tries to do is minimize fragmentation of our forest systems in Wisconsin. And basically what it does is it'll go in and people can apply for this, put their own property into it, but it has to be approved by the Department of Natural Resources. But it prevents, basically taking these forest lands and converting them to other purposes, whether it's development for homes or development for agriculture, whatever it might be, but trying to keep these forests intact across much of Wisconsin. That's a big one. Also, if you look across the nation as a whole, I think as a kind of a history buff, I think one of the cool things this fund has been used for is to preserve some of the old Civil War battlefields that we're losing to development. And you know, then you go on into the city areas too, and it's developing not only parks but planning for parks and recreation. So you know, think this law has had this dramatic impacts on our country, and it's always kind of baffling when you think all we're asking here for is what was agreed to, you know, 55 years ago.
Right.
And the list just goes on.
Yeah, I mean, there are things like baseball diamonds and soccer fields in people's neighborhoods that are partially paid for by this fund and maintained by this fund.
Yeah, to me, it's one of these great things about America potential. We have this potential for just incredibly great things, great public lands that most of the world does not enjoy. And in our country, we have those luxuries.
So Congress has to reauthorize this act by September 30th. Is this a real deadline, or is it one of those things that they might just sort of kick it down the road?
It's one of those things that, you like to emphasize that's a deadline, but Congress blew through a 2015 deadline on the same act. And they eventually reauthorized it in December of 2015 and gave it a 3-year window. But the whole idea that they're trying to do right now, and I should mention too, this has really had bipartisan support through the decades. And right now, the people pushing for it is Democrats and Republicans, not just one party.
Yeah, Richard Burr from North Carolina is one of the people that's pushing for this, and he's very conservative.
Right. Yes. Yeah, so you have this. I think most people recognize this is a good all-around plan for America. So you hope that cool heads prevail and that we get this through. But what I find fascinating about it does dovetail into one of the ongoing fights we're having in our country, and some of the people opposing it are folks who do not like public lands. They think we have too many public lands already, and prefer not to be investing in it more and buying up more land within our national parks and whatever it might be.
And yet Wisconsin relies a lot on public and state lands for its tourist industry, yes?
Oh, yes. You look at our recreation-based, we have so much of our economy in Wisconsin tied up in outdoor recreation. And whether it's hunting, fishing, hiking, camping, paddleboarding, you name it, we have in Wisconsin, I think, it's just a phenomenal state for all these activities. And the more we invest in these things, I think the more tourism dollars we'll have. So to me, it's pay for itself, invest in yourself type operation.
Since this is a bipartisan effort and it has been going on for 54 years, do you really think it's in danger?
Boy, I hope not, but it's hard to predict where you have to see this much energy being pumped into it right now to keep it intact, keep it on people's front, in the front of their minds. We're, like I said earlier, 3 years ago, we, let it expire and then had to push it just to get a 3-year extension on something that's supposed to be, basically a perpetual law for our country.
So it is a law. It just may not be funded. That may be the end. We are talking to Pat Durgin. He's a freelance writer who covers recreation and outdoors, and he is urging Congress to refund the Land and Water Conservation Fund, which is coming up at the end of September. We're going to be back with more. We're taking your calls on this, 800-642-1234. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. The National Land and Water Conservation Fund supports state and local outdoor recreation and conservation areas all over the country. It's up for reauthorization, and our guest today is a little worried that it might not be authorized or at least funded, even though senators, as disparate as North Carolina's Richard Burr and Wisconsin's Tammy Baldwin support it. Do you support the LWCF? Do you even know what it is? Are you a hunter, or do you run a business that relies on recreation to make money? What do you fear could happen if the act expires? 800-642-1234 is the number we're asking you to call. And you can also email us at ideas@WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. So, Pat Durkin, there's a committee of six senators from the Republican side and six senators from the Democratic side and a handful of independents, because there's only a handful of independents in Congress, that are pushing for this act. Who's opposing it?
Typically, when you get into finding out who actually opposes it, why it might be up, why it's even an issue, it tends to be that there is a certain segment within the Republican Party, and they've had it as part of their platform in the last two presidential elections to start transferring or make a bigger effort to transfer federal lands, whether it's from the Forest Service or the Bureau of Land Management, and those the big federal agencies. And transfer them back to the state control.
Mm.
And, they argue that the states are better equipped to manage their own lands. But then, what they won't get into a lot of times is, can you transfer these lands? But then, where's the money going to come
from? Right. Who pays for that? Can the state pay for that? Yes. We can't even fix our own roads at this point.
Exactly right.
That's
where the opposition is coming from, typically.
That's what they want to transfer things back to the state. And what are the states saying about this?
Well, most states really oppose it because they realize, it would really put a huge strain on their budgets. And so you're not seeing a whole lot of support from the states. And even though you've had this in the Republican platform for the last two elections, when it gets right down to it, most people really don't want to actually take that step. Even Wisconsin, where we sold off 10,000 acres of state property recently, but that really took a lot of effort to figure out which ones we can really spare. So when you start actually getting down to designating which lands to get rid of, or to transfer, you get into some real fights, because then it becomes a much more local issue.
Mm.
So that's where I'm always skeptical that we'll get real far with this, but yet it's become, it's been an issue for 30-some years now as a country, where you go back into the 80s and the Sagebrush Rebellion out west. And,
right.
It flares up, and we fight it and knock it back down, and then you think you won that battle, and it flares up again. So I don't expect that we're going to see it just go away.
States' rights and federal land is a fascinating issue, especially in the West. I've talked to a lot of people about this. We're taking calls here, 800-642-1234. Mark from Waukesha, welcome to the program.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me on. First off, I just want to say thanks for having Pat on. I think he brings an incredible amount to the table. He's a class act all the way. Secondly, is I cannot think of a person that I know that does not make use of the lands that this fund protects on an annual basis. This is incredibly important that people get engaged and speak their opinion to their elected officials and voice their opinion. This is extremely important. This is a time for people to act. When you look around, say, southern Wisconsin, and see the amount of development that is taking place here, there, and everywhere, these little micro pockets are extremely important, and they hold that much more significance when lands around them become developed. So this is a time for people to act. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mark. Pat, it strikes me that people just may not know. We go play soccer, and we don't really know that there's a federal fund there that is helping to maintain that soccer field. We go hiking at our nearby state park, and we don't necessarily know that there's a federal fund that may be in jeopardy that is helping to maintain that, and what might happen to that park if it doesn't get funded.
Well, I think that's always one of the fascinating aspects of life in America is, I grew up hunting in our national forest up in northern Wisconsin, and never really understood that if this wasn't something that just happened, they just happened to be there. you kind of go through life sometimes. Just who stops and reads historical markers for the most part. So it doesn't surprise me that we have a lot of a lot of good programs in this country that aren't being recognized daily. And typically, we don't really realize what we have until someone starts trying to take it away from us. And that's, I think, what's happening in this case, where it's something that's, you know, like I said, the fact we have to reauthorize something that was supposed to be perpetual, this tells you something about, where people can kind of play on that apathy or ignorance, whatever it might be. And, people are busy in this country. You know, they don't have time to look into these issues daily the way some folks do. So, I think overall that we have good conservation organizations in our state, in our country, that kind of help keep us aware of these things and bring it to the media attention, whatever it might be.
You mentioned historical markers. Preserving history is a large part of this also. Talk to me about some things in Wisconsin, historical things in Wisconsin that have used this fund.
Well, I'm not sure how much this is history, but, the one thing that I find really fascinating was just recently, for example, I did an article on the Ice Age Trail and the fact that I think it's about maybe 60% of it right now has been completed, but still 40% remaining. And then you go up in our the Northern Forest, there's the big North Country Trail that goes across our country, goes across our state, I mean. And then you get into the Apostle Lakeshore, the national park up there. This is something that's national. Up the Apostle Island National Lakeshore, that wasn't even part of our, that came into existence during my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's always really cool historical things that go on in the state that, they came along in more recent years that were and in many cases we're still working on. So I wish I could give you some great examples of the actual historical monuments, but I just look around so often the things I know just that enter my life, and I think Devil's Lake State Park, that's ongoing. But
right.
One thing I mentioned in my column too that was kind of fun was there isn't one county in Wisconsin that hasn't received funding from this program for their parks and recreational activities.
Wow. We are talking about the National Land and Water Conservation Fund, which Pat Durkin is urging Congress to renew. We're taking calls here. Brian from Rome, welcome to the program.
Hi, I'm a golf caddy at the golf resort called Sand Valley in
Good
Rome,
for
Wisconsin.
You.
And, the owner, Mike Kaiser, has made an effort to revitalize this land to what it used to be with name of Leopold, who said that this land could look like it could with the removal of the trees to make it look like it used to. And I just wondered if there's private investors that are kind of doing the same thing of buying land and trying to make it look like what it could have been. Thank you.
Thank you. And you have an awesome job, Brian. So Brian was talking about the Aldo Leopold, who was a famous Wisconsin conservationist and who advocated for even private people bringing the land back to what it was.
Yeah. And a lot of these private people doing this stuff, they're working so often with the national and state grants programs where they can, leverage money. They can put their own money in there and then get the matching grants for it. And see where, like in this program I mentioned earlier about the forest stewardship, the forest legacy program, people can get into these things, get these easements, conservation easements, and basically ensure that their land, when they pass on, remains protected. And so there's lots of really neat programs that people in Wisconsin get involved in. And it really kind of, when you talk to these folks and realize how much land they have at stake here, and they don't want to see it just end up in development and being parceled off in the 40s and sold, there's a real strong commitment that people like Leopold helped, I think, infuse into our culture, that it just, these kind of programs help maintain that.
And just to make sure, this fund, it comes back at the end of September, and lawmakers have to decide this. This is not part of some omnibus bill. This is something that they are deciding on this particular thing.
Yeah, it's something that's, Congress has to reauthorize it. It can't just be wrapped up and pushed along and then, you know, forgotten about again. They have to actually make a decision here, make a vote, and push it through.
We are talking about the Land and Water Conservation Fund, which is coming up for reauthorization in Congress. It's been in existence since 1964, and it has funded a lot of things that you probably use and don't realize gets federal or even state support. We're talking with Pat Durkin, who is asking Congress, encouraging Congress to reauthorize this fund. And we're taking your calls, 800-642-1234. I would love to hear what you like about the outdoors, what your recreation is, what you have seen that has been funded by this fund or by state funds that you want to keep going, or perhaps not. 800-642-1234, ideas@WPR.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. We're going to be back in a moment. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. We're talking about the National Land and Water Conservation Fund, which has been in existence for 54 years, supporting state parks and recreation all over the U.S. Its reauthorization date is coming up, and our guest fears that the deeply bipartisan initiative will not be funded. Do you consider this a legal issue, an economic idea, an ethical challenge? How does this fit into history and the fiber of Wisconsin? We're taking your calls here, 800-642-1234, ideas@WPR.org, or you could tweet us at WPR Mornings. Pat Durkin, we got an email here that simply said, recreation is not preservation. Talk to me about that.
Well, I guess I would argue that, though, without the preservation, it's hard to have a lot of our great recreation we have in this state. The one thing I think about so often with our system here is that we have lots of public lands right now in our state that I never really fully appreciated how much we have in that until I served in the Navy back in the 1970s. I was stationed out in Virginia. You know, I was used to in the Dane County area and Iowa County area, west of Mass, and there's all these little public access to fishing creeks, you know, the trout streams that go through southwestern Wisconsin. If you drive up into my start part of the state, there's lots of these fishing properties that also double as great lowland areas for hunting ducks. So to me, that if you didn't have these properties preserved for public use and protected, you wouldn't have the recreation that we have in this state right now. And so I'll always be a big defender of how much public land we have, and in many ways we're not using it even as much as we could. There's people are always looking for places to go, and I think, well, you don't have to look that hard to find a good place to recreate in this state.
And recreation doesn't necessarily destroy the land. I think that our state and national parks make sure that they are preserving the land at the same time that they're allowing people to hunt and fish.
Right. And the thing that we should keep in mind, too, that none of these lands, they don't just happen. You know, to properly manage these lands, and actually you can actually also get lots of financial benefit from them. There is some extraction that a lot of folks like me think are compatible with public lands. Our national forest, you know, a lot of the reason we set those aside originally in many places was to provide long-term economic benefits to the people in those regions, whether it's, you know, forestry practices, logging up in northern Wisconsin, whatever it might be. You look at a lot of these properties out in the Dakotas that are great properties for producing ducks in our country. Well, right now, thanks to the Land and Water Conservation Fund, you know, the federal government can go in and work with private landowners to make sure that they don't, you know, that they actually have some financial incentives not to plow under and tile wetland areas, and so they keep them productive for ducks. So there's all these programs that go on in our country that, you know, there is a cost, but in this case, it's a cost that is basically a reinvestment in our natural resources. You know, you're taking these offshore leases for drilling oil and gas and turning them into productive uses back here on shore. So
we are talking.
It's a great idea.
We are talking about the National Land and Water Conservation Fund, which is up for reauthorization in the next month. And we got some calls coming in. Bruce from Eau Claire, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for the show. Good morning, Carrie, Pat. We've got hundreds of parks throughout the state that have been funded or developed with land and water conservation funds. A couple of current examples, Erickson Park in Chippewa County, north of Chippewa Falls on Glen Loch, is being developed. It's got accessible fishing piers, a new boat landing, accessible canoe kayak landing, trails, park facilities. That's being developed, $851,000 in LawCon funding helping with that. And then one of my favorite parks is Dells of the Eau Claire River west of Wausau. It is just gorgeous, and it was developed years ago with Land and Water Conservation funding.
Thank you for that, Bruce. I appreciate that. One of the things I want to follow up with you on, Pat, is that he mentioned boats in building piers and what have you. There are people that I know in this state who say that we cannot have conservation as long as we have power boats on waters.
Yeah, you know, that's, I always call those one of those conflicts of luxury, where we have such abundant water resources in Wisconsin, then we have all these lakes and rivers, and then once we have them, well, then we fight about who is best, who most belongs out there.
Hmm.
So, I mean, I don't like it either when I'm out fishing in a quiet lake in central Wisconsin and someone comes roaring past on a jet ski. But I think, well, that's, you know, one of those penalties, when the price we pay for having this water is that, you know, we have it, well, who gets to use it the most? And so I think we'll always have these conflicts. And I guess I wish everybody would enjoy recreation the way I do, but I realize that's not going to happen in a democracy.
Is it polluting the water, though? I mean, that's the argument that they give
me. Yeah, of course, anytime you're putting gasoline and oil, you know, and burning it up and pushing it through the exhaust, of course there's going to be some pollution there. But I guess overall, though, you look at the bigger sources of pollution in our state waters, whether that's fertilizer runoff from people's lawns, discharge, you know, there's so many different ways that we can really mess up our waters that we also aren't addressing. So I guess my feeling is, based on, you know, how much blue-green algae problems we're having in the state, that we've been fighting that problem all my life, and sometimes I think, God, are we ever going to get on top of it? But so I don't know. It's hard for me to say that some of the big, you know, power boats are causing bigger problems. But then again, I look at too. Sometimes you're on these lakes, and some of these boats go by, and it's this constant wave action from them, always washing ashore, tearing up the shoreline. So there are some problems there that I'm not sure what the answer is, though, because, like I say, everybody wants their share of it.
Right.
They want, you know, their opportunity to be out there.
We are talking about the National Land and Water Conservation Fund and its possible reauthorization next month. Taking your calls, Kelly from Cascade, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I would consider myself a conservationist, recreationalist, and more recently a homesteader, so I'm very passionate about this cause, and I'm wondering if you could just let everybody know who we should be, which of our congressmen doors we should be knocking on, and what's the most effective way to reach out to them, please.
Great, great question. So who do we call about this, Pat?
Yeah, and this is, again, one of these things about our democracy. It doesn't work unless we're engaged. And I guess I always tell people it's very easy these days to go online, look up Wisconsin legislature's homepage, and you can get all the contact information for your U.S. congressmen and your U.S. senators there, and email them, you know, and call them. Because, you know, those kind of direct actions are much more effective than and basically an organized postcard drive or a petition, whatever it might be. There's individual phone calls, individual emails that people can send out written in their own voice are what make an impression on our elected officials, because It always comes back to holding people accountable, holding our elected people accountable, for their actions and letting them know what matters to us. If they don't hear anything about the Land, Water, and Conservation Fund from individual voters, they don't have a great incentive to make that a priority when they go back and start looking at this, during September.
We are taking your calls here on the Land, Water, and Conservation Fund and its possible reauthorization. Carol from La Crosse, welcome to the program.
Thank you, and thank you for bringing this important issue to the attention of everybody. I am an executive director of a land trust in Wisconsin. Mississippi Valley Conservancy has protected over 20,000 acres in the Driftless area, a very unique area of Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And we depend on funds like the Land and Water Conservation Fund and the No-Self Stewardship Fund to help us do our work.
So thank you very much for that. And how much, can you tell me how much do you get from them?
Well, it depends on the property that we're looking to protect, but we do apply to those funds. When it comes to the No-Self Stewardship Fund, they can provide up to 50% of the purchase price of a property for us. So it's really important. We could not possibly protect as many acres as we have if we had to fundraise from scratch without having these two funds in place.
And could you do it if the state took it over?
Well, we aren't a government agency, so we work as a nonprofit with private landowners who are either interested in selling land to us or just protecting their own land.
Got it. Thank you very much, Carol. I appreciate you calling. We are talking about the National Land and Water Conservation Fund, which puts a lot of money into the state of Wisconsin and other states. We're going to be talking about how much money we actually get in the state of Wisconsin in a moment. But we are taking your calls, 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. How many jobs, Pat, does this fund actually kind of result in? How many jobs come from conservation and outdoor recreation in Wisconsin?
Boy, that's a great question, because it's probably a bit of a moving target. But, the one thing you notice from the Land and Water Conservation Fund just by itself, since 64, the totals that I have dug up is that basically it's over $218 million invested in Wisconsin alone in that time.
Mm.
And so when you figure that, that's going into urban areas, basically city-type jobs, people working in parks, to county jobs, to statewide jobs by the DNR. It's a huge investment there.
We will be back in a moment to talk more about the Land and Conservation Fund, the money that it brings into the state, and whether or not it will be reauthorized. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network.
Checking the WPR weather forecast for today, mostly sunny and breezy. We'll have highs in the 70s. Thursday, sunny during the day, but then becoming cloudy late in the day. Highs from the mid-70s to the low 80s. Friday, cloudy skies, showers, and a few thunderstorms across the region, with highs in the low to mid-70s. On Saturday, it'll be cloudy with some rain showers possible in the morning, then a little bit of sun coming through in the afternoon. Highs from the low 70s to the low 80s.
Coming up at 8, the State Department of Justice has launched an interactive website to explore sex offenses in the state. Attorney General Brad Schimmel joins us to tell us who can use it and how it works. That's after 8 on The Morning Show. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. We're are talking today about the National Land and Water Conservation Fund. It is up for renewal at the end of September. And our guest, Pat Durkin, is a freelance writer who has written about the need to renew the fund. It ran out a few years ago for about a month or two before being renewed. And he doesn't want that to happen again. We are taking your calls here. What do you worry will happen if lawmakers don't renew the fund? Do you think Wisconsin will notice a difference? 800-642-1234, ideas@WPR.org, or you could tweet us at WPR Mornings. Pat Durkin, we're going to take a phone call here. Joe from Eau Claire, welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Good morning. So what do you have to say about the fund?
Well, I just want to thank you for having this program and say you've inspired me to write to my senators, both the conservative one and the liberal one, and remind them about this. I'm sorry I turned in a little late. It was kind of early in the morning for me, but as I understand it, LawCon was sort of a trade-off. If these companies were going to drill in offshore waters, which belong to all of us, they were going to contribute to this fund, a little bit of a sin tax. And I think that's a fair deal, as we've seen from Deepwater Horizon, that sometimes these things leak and there are environmental consequences.
Right.
I wondered if Pat knew what the holdup was. Again, I'm sorry, I turned in a little late.
That's okay.
The other thing is this program really inspired our state program, the Noel Nelson Stewardship Program, which is done through bonding, and that also has not got much funding at the state level here. I think this trend is too bad. I think this used to be bipartisan. Conservation used to be a bipartisan thing. It seems not to be today. I'll shut up and let you guys comment on this.
Thank you very much, Joe. So are you seeing that, Pat, that the bipartisanship that used to exist here on conservation is gone? Or are you seeing that no, it's pretty much still here? I mean, there are Republicans who are staunchly in favor of this.
Definitely we have gotten more partisan. There's just no mistake about that. You know, it wasn't that long ago that we had politicians in our state like Warren Knowles and Giller Nelson, who were on opposite sides of the aisle, but really came together on big conservation efforts and initiatives in the state. You know, Knowles was just a real diehard hunter-fisherman that was Republican, and as part of his heritage, and he was, you know, that's what he promoted. I wanted to say, too, I cut myself off as I could hear your music coming on, but
yes.
I said earlier, Carrie, that as far as our state jobs and what's coming out of this, you know, one point I made in my column that I think is important for people to remember is that in the outdoor recreation industry in Wisconsin is basically estimated at about $18 billion annually. It's huge. In all the different things we have. And that comes down to the best estimates we have is roughly 168,000 jobs in the state are tied to outdoor recreation, and that amounts to about $5.1 billion in wages and salaries, and about another $1.1 billion annually in our state tax revenue. So this really is a huge part of the Wisconsin economy.
We are talking about the Land and Water Conservation Fund and taking your calls here. Clarence from Watertown, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Good morning. I come in on the opposite side. We farm here in the Watertown Lake Mills area. And an estate property came up for sale, and the farmer who had been renting it wanted to buy it. And there was a conservation group out of Madison also wanted it. Well, they couldn't match the farmer's bid, but when they got a state grant for funds, then they outbid the farmer, put him out of the running, and then they came in and ripped up the drainage ditches and planted other quote-unquote native plants. And the farmer, you know, he was out. He's got to go find feed for his livestock somewhere else.
And so the problem is that the state sort of, you see the state having giving the conservation group an unfair advantage?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Pat, what do you say to that? Thank you for that, Clarence, by the way. That's an interesting take.
Yeah, Yeah, it is interesting, and I guess being more of a conservation bent myself is right now. I guess I'd say we still don't we don't have a shortage of a lot of the things he's talking about, and so to me I think it helps level the playing field a little bit here as far as how we best use this land. And it's hard for me to argue against a group that would come in and restore land to basically the way nature originally built it. And because, you know, we do have a lot of farm country in Wisconsin that really has been really worked over hard to get it to be productive. And so I think maybe this land's being restored in a way that's a little more compatible with what nature intended.
But it's also hurting one of the biggest industries in Wisconsin. It might be hurting. I don't know the details of this.
Yeah.
But me
either. It's hard for me to comment on a specific case. But I guess overall in the big picture of Wisconsin, it's hard to argue that conservation is actually hurting agriculture in the state.
When we first started talking, we talked about the act said that the Land and Water Conservation Fund should be funded at about $900 million. Has it ever been fully funded?
Yeah, twice. But it hasn't been fully funded in close to, I think we're going on close to 40 years now. You know, because, you know, they authorized it to get, $900 million per year was the allotment they talked about. And like I said, I think they set that amount. It's probably very varying for the first 10, 15 years. But then I think it was 1978 they locked it in as a goal of $900 million. But like I said earlier, we're now getting about $306 million of it annually, so a third of that allotment. And the entire, you know, like in 2013, the one example I like to cite is that that year that the U.S. Department of Interior collected $9 billion in offshore, lease fees. And then from that amount, we ended up with only $306 million for the fund, which is a third of what we actually are authorized to collect.
So my question is, where is that other money that we're collecting from lease fees going? I mean, I know it's probably going to a lot of places, but kind of like give us the overall picture.
Well, I wish I had the great answer. That's what's always so tricky when Congress is dealing with these huge budgets. They can, siphon off.
Did Pat? We seem to have lost Pat Durkin. We are taking your calls here for the Land and Water Conservation Fund, 800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@wpr.org. One of the things that Pat and I were just talking about is that the fund, the act, which was enacted in 1964, authorized $900 million to be paid for conservation efforts in the state. But for the most part, they've never actually reached that goal. They've only paid about $300 million in the last few years. Do we have him back? I don't know. Yep. Pat, are you there?
Yep, I'm back.
Oh, great. Okay. So here's my next question. Are you pretty optimistic that the $300 million that we've been getting in the last few years will be enacted, will be funded by the end of September, and you're just holding out for more, or you're not holding out, but you're hoping for more? Are we looking at maybe the whole thing going kaput?
Well, I hope it doesn't go kaput, but what's encouraging is that you see this bipartisan support, not only to get it back, but they fully fund it. I think they're realizing this is an important, a really important program. And when you see, Senator Burr from North Carolina, a staunch conservative, even him pushing for full funding of it, I think they realize that Congress shouldn't be in there diverting this fund. It's something that was authorized. We should live by the spirit of it and push it through, for full funding in perpetuity. So
we will be doing an update on this when and if anything happens at the end of September. Patrick Durkin is a freelance writer who covers recreation and the outdoors. He's a columnist for 17 Wisconsin newspapers, including USA Today's Wisconsin Network, the Wisconsin State Journal, and Wisconsin Outdoor News. Thanks for sussing this out with me today, Patrick.
Well, thanks for having me on, Carrie. Appreciate it.
I'm Carrie Kaufman. It's The Morning Show, and you are listening to the Ideas Network.